September 11th, 2016, it's a Lot for Pedro show.
Thank you. 99 tone where $3 rolls the flow. Gonna settle down, down in old 99 tone.
Pedro show here in Pedro, but Mantalone mode. Brother Matt, though, next Thursday I get to reunite with him after so many months. Mantalone, actually not Mantalone, because through the magic of Skype, I got Brother Matthew out of Phoenix, Arizona, via Skype. Those righteous cats in Estonia who came up with this software. But Matthew, he's the mastermind behind Fluke Magazine, which is coming on its 25th year. Oh, I should say what we played. Start off the show with Blues Legacy from John Coltrane with Milt Jackson on the vibes. Bags and Train was the name of that album. It's a trippy one. John Coltrane, many ways to express himself and collaborate. Inspiration. Then we had Taff Falco's and his Panther Burns doing something that's not really even out yet. It was recorded, 11 months ago in Arizona there, but Tucson, the other town. Well, there's more than two towns. Actually, the older town, Tucson. Tucson at Wave Lab? I think that's the name of the studio. Great pad where Hal Gelb and Joey with Calexico, they do their stuff. And where the Rio Dolorosa flows. And you might know that from the first Panther Burns album, but me and Larry got to be rhythm section to Taff Falco along with his musicians. Whoa. Wow, that's a weird sound coming out of Arizona. Can you like mute that kind of shit?
Yeah, done.
It's like in the movie theater or something. The Broadway, the Hamlet, Shakespeare play.
That was my chess game coming up.
Okay. I'm into chess. Yeah. I'm really good at chess. Some cats are really good. I used to do it at lunchtime. There was a chess club, and that's where we smoked the mota. And then the thing about chess, you know, there's no dice. There's no luck. You know what I mean?
There's no
cards.
Not.
Yeah, you either lose or you win. I guess there's a draw.
That's right.
Anyway, getting back to Taff Falco, I got to tour with him last fall, and we actually made two singles. One in Memphis that was released on Org Music, we played on the show. And then this baby's coming up Actually, Tab is talking to me about album, which is the incredible honor. I know for Larry, too. But Larry's, man, is he busy. Nick Cave asked him to do a year and a half tour. He's got this TV show in Germany where he plays a drummer, like a kind of a type of Gene Krupa, but a German version during the 1920s. Like, think about Cabaret and Liza Minnelli, Joel Grey, that movie, that era. So, but I know Larry will make time because, quite an honor for both of us to get to work with Tab Falco. And then the latest issue of Fluke, there's good spiel with him. And in fact, last time I was with Brother Matthew in Arizona, it was the last day of the tour with the Italian guys, the first El Sogno del Marinaio U.S. tour. And you played me a video interview you do with him. And
right.
I think this is a transcription of that, right?
That's correct.
Right. Anyway, little do we know that that was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I would have, I've got to meet with him. I got to play on bills with him. But to be in the Panther Birds, incredible. Even got a little violin bass, wore a suit, never took it off the whole tour.
That was a great show. I was down there.
The only fun thing was the pointy shoes. Yeah. Hotel Congress?
Yeah, Club Congress.
Club
That's
Congress,
right.
Yeah. That's right.
I'll pass that Coltrane book on to you.
That's right. Much thanks. Much appreciated.
It's my pleasure.
But Matthew, I would like to learn from you your earliest musical memory.
Well, my earliest musical memory, I would say, was I was probably 7, and it was probably 1978, somewhere around that era. And I was watching TV. I was about 7 years old. And
where's this, Little Rock?
Yeah, this is in Little Rock, North Little Rock, Arkansas, to be specific. And Kiss had come on. They played a concert on primetime TV, and there was all kinds of pyrotechnics and glam and just rock and roll. And
so your first music memory, or the oldest memory you got, is actually coming over the TV, and it's Kiss.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. And what was the effect on you?
Well, I told my mom, I wanted to go down to the record store and pick up a T-shirt. So she
T-shirt?
Said,
you didn't want to get the record?
No, I didn't want the. I wanted the T-shirt.
You wanted to be in the Kiss Army?
Yeah,
did
I wanted
you know
to
about
be,
that.
And she went down and there was this place called Peaches Records where everybody got their records and they had the T-shirts.
I remember that was a chain.
Yeah, they had the T-shirts like shrink wrapped in with a little piece of cardboard behind it.
Yeah,
and she bought that for me, and we took it home. And I mean, the thing fit me like a it was like a dress on me because I was so little.
Okay, you got the wrong size.
I mean, I loved that shirt though, and just that was my first musical memory. Looking back on that time in my life, my mother. She was really this was the disco era, and she was really into, she was a dancer.
Okay.
So, there was like...
So you had music in the house.
Yeah, I remember looking through her records, and she had everything from, Bee Gees, Captain and Tennille.
Maybe Donna Summer.
Oh, Donna Summer. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because she was the big lady, I remember, in those...
There's
Captain and Tennille was big, too, though. Yeah.
Yeah, Donna Summer, Diana Ross, Michael Jackson, Stevie
Wonder.
Bee
Gees, oh yeah, a John Travolta movie.
Saturday Night Fever.
That's right, that was huge.
Yeah, and I can just remember looking, looking at her record covers and just...
Do the Hustle, that was big.
Right, she liked anything that had a good beat to it.
Right, right, because that was here. So actually, you're... early music experiences, kind of rhythm.
Yeah.
Not so much melody. Yeah,
I think it was around 1980, maybe 81, when Sugar Hill Gang, at least came to, you know, it took a while for this stuff to get to Arkansas.
The Double right? Dutch?
Yeah, Double Dutch Bus was Frankie Smith. We had a van, and we called it the Double Dutch Bus. We even had a license plate that we put on the front. Doug, so, yes, Double Dutch Bus. And
Doug Wimbish on the bass.
Yeah.
Incredible cat, man. It's a big honor for me to know him and been able to... God, I got to do all of Maggot Brain last year with him at Viper Room in West Hollywood out of the blue. I couldn't believe it. George Clinton
amazing.
Came up on stage and sang most of it, and the Blackbird McKnight, and Michael Hampton, Kid Funkadelic. Yeah. So, this is kind of your friends in school, too, right? You guys are kind of...
You know, I don't remember... I remember as far as school was going, my earliest memory around that was when Thriller came out.
Ah, Mike Jackson.
Yeah, and everybody was doing the moonwalk.
Right.
And I used to be really into BMX, you know, so I had these BMX gloves, you know, and so...
This is bicycle.
Right, bicycling and...
But wild bicycle.
Yeah, and I had these gloves, so I would go to school with one glove on.
Ah, like Mike, yeah.
Which, you know, is, you know, in your day, it was like, you know, I can remember seeing video of Keith Morris making fun of that genre.
You know, around this time, I wrote a letter to his management. I gave him a song. I wrote a song for him. I thought Mike Jackson...
Political song for Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I thought if he... sang this song, that people would understand what the Minutemen were about. I never got an answer.
Well, you know, that's a really cool thing that you did. I mean, the way I look at things in life is, you know, you can at least ask, and that's really how I got to know you. Is, you know, it was around 2008, 2009, and it was the era of social media where everyone's world got a little smaller. MySpace, and I said, you know what, I want to get my magazine going again, because I took a long break from...
We're going to get to that, yeah, we're going to get to that, your zine. We're still back in our early music days. Do you remember the first gig you went to?
Oh, God, the first gig I ever went to was either, I think it was Barry Manilow with my mom. And then Tom Jones was after that, and then I also saw... Lionel Richie with the Pointer Sisters.
And these were like big pads, right?
Oh, yeah, this was Barton Coliseum. It was huge.
Yeah, big auditorium, yeah.
So I would go, you know, my mom would drag me to these shows.
So they're actually her gigs, but she wants you to be, okay.
Exactly.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
At least you're seeing live music.
Exactly.
What about at school? Was there a band program?
In seventh grade, I played trumpet.
Like a marching band?
No, it wasn't marching band.
Like a school orchestra?
Yeah. And I played trumpet.
Now, how'd that happen? They asked you to pick?
My brother played trumpet, and I wanted to do anything my brother did.
Oh, okay. So you had music actually in the house?
Yeah, a little bit. For a while. My brother was always musically inclined. I never really was. My brother... He played trumpet, and it was kind of a deal where he had to do it.
Okay.
So, I played trumpet, and then later on, you know, not to get ahead, but he picked up the bass.
Wow.
Yeah, he was a good bass player.
From treble clef to bass clef.
Yeah, he was a good bass player, still plays.
You know who's got a new record? Dex, Ron Weber. Let's hear some of that.
Baby, I don't know, baby, where we stand. That we planned so long ago. Baby, I don't know. I don't know if you're my friend. You're a long lost lover coming back again. Where did you go? Baby, I don't know. Think by now I would know better. I ain't got a lot to show. I could write a song and I could write a letter. Write a little book of how I don't know. Watch
maybe I don't know. Where does the wind blow? Maybe I don't know.
Baskets, deck chairs, dog on a rope, sitting in a car park, is this some kind of joke?
There is nothing to be shown. no one to read them, we remember. No one is guilty. There is no good and bad. We are just waiting in our shelter. That's what we got. Deserves. There's simply no other one. We're touching just your blood. We don't move. Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show. At the top of that was Dex Ron Weber, brand new album, Bloodshot, and the tune I Don't Know. Yeah. What do you know? And then King Alfred Man of Leisure with Holiday in a Car Park. Everything about that spells England to me. And sure enough, they're from there. King Champion Sounds out of Holland with Smallest Tribe in the World. That's got the lyrics by Brother Vasco in Skopje, Macedonia. And then AJ, the man behind King Champion Sounds, had me do the spiel. And so it's a terrific collaboration. Macedonia, Pedro, and Amsterdam. Holland. Yeah. But that's what music's for, you know. Trippy. And then Lemon Kittens with Pain Topics. Yeah, I found my old Lemon Kittens. I've been playing the hell out of that. I love that stuff. And then the theme from The Prisoner. Last week was 50 years since The Prisoner first aired. Only TV shows I ever liked, you know. It was a total mind blower. Only 17 episodes. This guy, Patrick McGewen. He had a very successful show called, we called it Secret Agent Man. Johnny Rivers had a big hit with that, right? Theme song. But over in England, it was called Danger Man. So they gave him his own show. And man, it is a trip. I suggest you check it out. The Prisoner. Go to Wikipedia and they'll have some links. The unmutual.co.uk is a really good site. And then I think on the YouTube.com there's maybe some episodes. But I never saw it in color, you know. Old days, well, the more younger days. Yeah, color TVs cost a buttload. Not until the DVDs came out, I saw that thing in color. But check it out. Anyway, Goddess Shamisen from NorCal did a theme from The Prisoner. Then we had Dagger Moth, The Sky Was Red. Going to get play with them in, or her, in Bologna. I got a tour. I leave Monday, 1 week from tomorrow. Sonia de Marinaio. Yeah, MikeWatt.com. You can learn about that. Nervous Gender. Great band from the old, or more younger days of our movement here. East LA guys, but, you know, I saw them play a lot. Chinatown, Hollywood. Cardinal Newman. Well, Edward wasn't from East LA, I don't think. But great band. Love them. And then finally, Charanga Capesina by Very Be Careful. That's live. Great band. It's called Vallenata. It's a kind of folk music from Colombia. These guys are great. Two brothers. I got to play with them at El Cid with my second man. Oh, Bob Lee. Yeah, during that. By the way, we just recorded a three-song thing with Tom Watson, Pete Mazich, Bob Lee, myself, called Bobbly Man. It's going to come out day after Thanksgiving. It's three songs I wrote for Georgie and D. Boone that never got recorded. God, one of them never even, they dumped it right from the beginning. You know, Georgie and D. Boone wrote the best songs in Minutemen. I didn't really write that good, but I wrote a lot of them. And if you look at my whole thing, they're kind of trippy. That's what I've been doing the last year, playing for people. Especially these gigs opening for X, because they're doing their old songs. But back to Brother Matthew's story here regarding music. What about going, because you're talking early 80s now.
Right.
When did the movement get to Little Rock?
You talking about punk rock?
Yeah.
For some, it came in the early 80s, but it was very few people. Black Flag came through Little Rock in 1986 on their last tour. And after, and one thing that happened at that show was Henry said, there's very little rock in Arkansas. And they played at a place called SOB's, which was like a restaurant bar type place, you know, which makes sense because Black Flag would play anywhere. But that, I believe, was the first, like, big punk show. And after that, it started to open up. You know, there was bands that started forming. And by 1988, there was a band called Iconoclast who
Do you remember the first gig you went to in Little Rock?
I sure do. It was
Was it Common Christ, or was it the Flag gig?
No, I was too young for Flag. Although some of my friends who were too young went, but I wasn't friends with them till later. The first gig I went to was, it was at this place called Women's City Club, which is exactly what it was. It was a, you know, a building downtown that was a club for women. And it was a historic building, still there. And there was this kid.
I played a women club in San Diego. I think they used to be popular in the older days.
Yeah, somehow there was a kid younger than me. I was a senior in high school. This was October of 1989, and this kid somehow had a connection to someone at the Women's City Club, and he put on the first show that had happened in Little Rock for like I think 3 or 4 months, because there was a club down there called DMZ. That was before my time, but they, you know, Connor Christ was playing there and some other bands, but it closed down. So there was like this period of time where there was no punk shows. And this show had this thing called, the Agitators from Texas. And then we had a local band called Trusty who went on to Discord Records years later.
Sure. You know what Trusty is, right?
There was a couple other local bands that
played. You know what a trusty is, right? It's a guy in jail that has some privileges.
Yeah. So this, you know, being that there was no shows for a long time, this show turned out a lot of people. There was at least 100, 150 kids there, and it was all high school kids mostly. And it was a really big show, and it was like a very awesome, you know, punk rock show.
Profound.
Very profound to a lot of people, you know, and it was a lot of people's first show who got into punk later in Little Rock.
All right. We're at the end of the first hour of the September 11, 2016 Dish of Wap Peter Show. Special guest, Brother Matthew. Hold tight for hour two. September 11, 2016. It's the second hour. What Pedro Show.
Bomb. Blames are all long gone, but the pain lingers on. It's getting harder. average person during the week. Saturday to turn into a freak. And then we just barely speak. I don't get it. It looks as if you don't regret it at all. I've been heading to my Waterloo right from when I got up in the morning. Another evening staying at home, trying to make you answer the phone. Still can cope with being alone. Hours later you're calling me back, telling me to cut you some slack. Oh, this is such a drag.
Give me your future.
Look, the sky is like a T-Rex.
Watch for Pedro show. We started off the second hour with Petra Hayden doing Goodbye Blue Sky. Yeah, speaking of, yeah, the weird, off the air, people were talking about having to say the date of this edition of the Watch for Pedro show, and it's kind of trippy. Sorry, there was a little feedback. I had the fucking, what do we call that, pilot air. Rachel Hayden, her sister, actually her identical twin, with Get Out from her new stuff. Or was it the... Well, it's pretty recent. I know some of the stuff she did twice. Hard to keep track. Then Destroyed But Not Defeated out of Austria with My Waterloo. Mazurka from Modern Dance Ensemble, David Garrard over in Massachusetts. SS Space Systems with It's Tweakin' upstate New York. Not the city, but the... By Hudson and all that, Albany. Adirondacks, pretty. Yeah, what time you go New York again? Go up the Hudson River. You wouldn't believe
okay.
it. Yeah, because it's not all cement. In fact, only a few miles out of town, it starts getting really rural. It's trip to trip. I lived there a little bit by Schenectady because they had a nuke. GE had a nuke plant. My pop got trained for nuclear engine room. You know, machinist man. By the way, I'm reading Sam Pebbles again.
Oh, okay.
Man, what a mind blow. That was me and D. Boone's favorite movie. But when I read a book a second time with a bunch of years in between, it's a whole not, you know, actually the words stay the same, but obviously Watt changes, so it just layer on it. Yeah. Then we had Space out of Liverpool doing Give Me Your Future. That's Brother Phil, great cat. And finally, Stefano Pelia with Golgotha Chameleon. And he's the guitar man for the Soldier de Minayo. Oh, by the way, the drummer man, Andrea, is coming to Pedro tomorrow with his wife, Veronica, to paddle kayak. Because they decided to do a little U.S. tour before we play together for a Europe tour. Not music, you know, just show his wife around California and stuff like that. So I get to, Brother Matt's got a dually kayak, so they'll team up, and then Waddle be in his little my kayak. I named her Zabby from a character in a Thomas Pynchon book. So tell me about Fluke.
Fluke started in North Little Rock, Arkansas. It was three of us. It was myself, Steve Schmidt, and Jason White.
When?
And Jason, of course, went on to Green Day fame, which is
yeah. But when?
Oh, 1991.
Okay.
So what happened was when I graduated high school in 1990, I moved to Chicago the day after with my mother and my mom and my brother. And then I stayed in close contact with my friends back home. Well, it was around this time that bands started to come through, such as Fugazi. Actually, your band, Firehose, played Dino's 7th and Chester, I believe, a few times. So Steve, he wanted to start a magazine. So he interviewed Fugazi, and he interviewed another band. And he was going to put out a zine called Plaid, P-L-A-I-D.
Sure, like the... shirts I like to wear.
Like the John Fogerty shirts, yeah, and the Mike Watt shirts.
You know, they're not always flannel. People get this confused. Flannel is a type of cotton brushed a certain way.
Right.
That pattern is plaid. Like, lately this last year, from a shirt my mom gave me for my birthday, I found three others like it from the same company. They're made out of canvas, but they still got a plaid. But, of course, people want to call them flannel. So, anyway, he wants to start a zine called Plaid.
Yeah, and I thought that was a really cool name, you know, and it never got
out. What, like talking about Chicago scene?
He's back home.
Even though you're in Chicago, you're still in contact with him.
Right, okay. And so when I came back for the summer in 91, and we all decided we wanted to do this magazine together. So we changed the name of it. We put those two interviews in it. We had some art and some photos and some record reviews and some advertisements and whatnot and some contributors, local contributors. And and we put it out. We went down to the Kinko's, laid it all out. We had a buddy who worked at Kinko's, so we pulled a good scam there with him. And we passed it around to all our buddies and all our friends, and we sent it to Maximum Rock and Roll, and, you know.
But what was it? Oh, was that the spur? You know, what was the inspiration? I mean,
well, the
you thought that the scene needed a voice?
Well, yeah, it did. There was
obviously, Maximum Rock and Roll was probably an inspiration. Tim Yohannan, and that, I think that helped start a lot of zines.
Yeah, there.
No, I gotta say, because let's relate to my scene in the 70s here, the movement. The merch people didn't, they wanted this thing to go away, you know, so we had to make our own. The zines were like the fabric.
Right.
So it was important to have. Yeah, Flipside, Slash.
Right. There was one out of Little Rock in the late 80s. The main one was called Lighten Up. And Tim Lamb did it. And Tim Lamb, the way that he did it was he made it seem as if there was a bigger scene in Little Rock than there actually was. And he sent it to the MRR.
Oh, yeah, because they used to have scene reports.
Right. And people started to write him. And it was through him, really, that the scene really started to get attention nationwide.
Okay.
And so ours was loosely modeled after that. I don't think I personally knew it at the time. I don't know if the other two guys knew it either. But looking back on it, our issues looked a lot like Lighten Up. And
you mean it was some kind of subliminal influence?
Yeah, it was just, you know.
Not over.
It was the same size. It was a full size. It had interviews with, you know, Fugazi. His magazine had an interview with Fugazi in the early days of Fugazi, 87, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
88, maybe. And we had record reviews. And we had art from Bobby Matthews, who actually did art for Tim, you know, so there were a lot of similarities between the two. And so we kind of, and you know, that Lighten Up.
Well, what happened with Lighten Up? They petered out?
He did 10 or 11, I have them here. He did like 10 or 11 issues, I think, and then, I don't know, I think he moved on to college or whatever, and
Fayetteville.
Yeah, possibly. I'm not sure where Tim went.
Okay.
But he's in, I think he's, well, he was in Colorado for a lot of years.
Okay.
I think he's recently moved. But anyway.
I'm thinking this was a way of you keeping tight with your hometown.
Yeah, it really was. The main inspiration behind the magazine itself was Steve Schmidt. He graduated high school, and he was sitting around, you know, he had a little job somewhere, I guess similar to Ian and Henry. He had a little job at an ice cream shop.
All right. Haagen-Dazs, I think, was Henry and Ian, yeah.
Yeah, this one here was TCBY. This Can't Be Yogurt is what it was called.
Okay.
And it was down the street. It was an old strip mall down the street from his house, you know, and he didn't have anything going on. You know, he wasn't in school or anything, and all he had was this little job at the ice cream shop, and this homeless guy came in, and he'd come in and out of the store during the day, and he would write on a piece of paper, you know. Steve, I don't think, realized it at the time, but you know, the guy was probably schizophrenic, and he would just write numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and he'd write all the way to 27, and then he'd stop.
Okay.
Well, in Steve's head, this guy was teaching himself how to write. And Steve got a lot of inspiration out of this guy who had very little resources, you know, but he was making the best of what he could out of these resources. So it was at that moment that Steve decided he was going to do a magazine, he was going to get a radio show, and he was going to start a band. And he did all three of those things. And so that's how Fluke started.
Oh, man, what a story. Okay, let's listen to some Toys to Kill. They just got done with tour.
drink that water that will help me make it through the night. There's 1 hour that's more lonely than any should have around.
Mes chers amis, avant de commencer une petite expérience, veuillez tout d'abord régler votre appareil. Voici le tic-tac d'un métronome à votre gauche. Le même tic-tac de métronome à votre droite.
just tell your daddy says to go away and little distant cousin woke up. So up to daddy oh. Everyone just settle down and listen to my song. Love is breaking broken stones. Sister is proud of herself because of the accent is choked up. To daddy-o. Just a to daddy-o. But I'm a cool daddy-o. Cool daddy-o. I'm just a cool daddy-o. Cool daddy-o.
Oh, God. Is that all right?
No, let's do it again.
Guys, hey guys, fellas, excuse me. Hey, listen, guys. Hey, can you, when I push the talk button, are you guys hearing me? You guys hear me in the cans? Okay, thanks, guys. Great. Glad I can have your attention. Hey, everything's terrific. But guys, I'm trying to get the compression ratios here, so if you could just. I have written down in the notes here that. You want to do this tune here all together at the same time. Normally we build things up. We do a rhythm track, and we get it really tasty, and we... Well, fellas, I've been in this business for a while, and, I love your energy, but isn't that a little close to... So No!
We'll be right back.
Walk for Beaver show. Toys a Kill. Sentimental Ward. Just off tour. And me and Brother Matt are going to get to talk to Todd Conge, the main man, Thursday. Then we had Marsh Sweet with Gearing Up. You Make Me Bad. Erotic Bill Young and His Heretics. That's out of Croatia. Marsh Sweet up here at Echo Park. Silver Lake. Book of Clothes. And then Soka. Brand new Alex Jung Hung Tai with Paris Means Nothing to Me If You Without You. He's living here, SoCal now. Yeah, incredible band. He had this project a long time, Dirty Beaches, but he's been striking out in different music directions now. Incredible cat. Nihilistic Smile by Seb and the Radix. That's out of Lyon, France. Great cat. R. Stevie Moore out of Nashville with Cool Daddy-O. And finally, Atomic Sherpa's Painful Therapeutic Process. It's Vince Barone here doing the horns and the harp and stuff. He's Echo Park, I know that. But originally Garden Grove with it. Steve here, we were saying off the air, he started, he joined a band, he started a radio show at a local station, and he, it begins Fluke with you.
That's right, with me and Jason, yeah.
And Jason, yeah, the third guy. How did it develop after that?
Well, so then what happened was, bands kept coming through town. Jason came to visit me in Chicago. There was a Lookout band that came through Chicago when he was visiting called
Lookout Records, right?
Yeah, Lookout Records.
Bay Area.
Yeah, and he actually knew these guys. There was a band called Monsula. So we did a spiel with them after their show. We went to Denny's and hung out, and then, you know, there was other bands. Jason interviewed Ben from Iconochrist. We interviewed Lungfish from Baltimore.
Yeah, Discord band.
Right. We interviewed Fleck Camp out of Canada. Great band. And let's see.
Were the issues regular? Or they would just come out when you wanted them to come out?
It's never been regular. That was a year later, that one.
So, okay.
And Steve, in the middle of doing that, when Steve moved up to Arcata, California.
Okay, NorCal here.
Or no, Eureka, I'm sorry. Yeah, right up there.
You know, we got two of them. There's Yreka and Eureka.
he was up in Eureka, and he was
Yreka's on the I-5. They're not close. But
right.
They're both NorCal, yeah.
Exactly. So, but we laid it all out pretty much together, and then Jason and I printed it out. It was the same deal, same size. We had a lot of interviews, record reviews, contributions, art, photographs, and we did the same thing. You know, we sent it to MRR. We'd get some feedback through the mail, and I was traveling a little bit, and I would take it where I was going. And it started to get...
What about Little Rock? What about Little Rock?
Oh, Little Rock was... by 92, Little Rock was just on fire.
I'm talking about Fluke. Was it put out there?
Yeah, it was. That was the base for it, was Little Rock.
But you printed it up in Chicago.
No, we printed it... Yeah, it was kind of... I was going back and forth. It's only a 10-hour drive.
Yeah, holy...
You know, and when you're 20, 21 years old, you can do that, no problem.
So you, like, did the distribution out of Chicago 10 hours away in Little Rock, okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, it just, wherever, you know.
But you're saying it got attention.
It got a lot, it got a little bit of a buzz.
Okay, let's get on to that, because we're at the end of the second hour now, September 11, 2016, this WAP Peter Show special guest, Brother Matthew of Fluke Z, hold tight for hour three. September 11, 2016, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show. We'll be right back.
guess what I found out today? I found out I don't know a damn thing. Found out I've been blind. I don't know my own mind. Somehow with eyes open wide, I can't see what I feel inside. You keep telling me, telling me, telling me. Telling me, telling me, telling me, telling me, telling me. The falling embers still crash down. There's no reason for alarm. We'll walk through this fire, arm in arm. Guess who I see now right in front of me? The one who has brought back the light in me. I see now what you said. I know I was misled. Somehow when we first met, I just wasn't ready yet. You keep telling me, telling me, telling me. Telling me, telling me, telling me, telling me, telling me. Falling embers still crash down. There's no reason for alarm. We'll walk through this fire, arm in arm. Guess what I'd be if I had any sense? The happiest man before, ever, or since. It's all so good. I feel lost in this neighborhood. Somehow I don't deserve. You led me around the curve. You keep telling me, telling me, telling me. Telling me, telling me, telling me, telling me, telling me. Guess what I found out today? I found out I don't know a damn thing. I found out I've been blind. Don't know my own mind. Somehow with eyes open wide, I can't see what I feel inside. You keep telling me, telling me, telling me. Telling me, 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 telling me.
Who are you? How do you think? How do you do? How do you do? It's essentially American dream. American dream. American dream. American.
Down in a white, you see the world with all its beauty and its loss. So you lost, so lost. Come and rest with me. Come close.
Civilians killed or wounded. Spanish Civil War, an an estimated 500,000 were killed and 450,000 fled. The war in Darfur, about 2,850,000 people displaced. World War II, over 60 million dead. 26.6 million were from the Soviet Union, including 19 million Soviet civilians. The Finnish Civil War, 36,640 dead. Vietnam War, between 1.5 and 3.6 million people dead. The Iraq War, 174,000 Iraqis reported killed between 2003 and 2013. Soviet-Afghan War, between 850,000 and 1,500,000 Afghan civilians killed. Somali Civil War, 300,000 to 500,000 dead to date. Iran-Iraq War, at least 100,000 civilians killed on both sides. Cambodian Civil War, between 200,000 and 300,000 dead. The war in Afghanistan has to date resulted in between 18,000 and 20,000 Afghan civilians being killed. Syrian Civil War, as of January 2015, an estimated 220,000 dead. The number of refugees, asylum seekers, and internally displaced people worldwide now, for the first time in the post-World War II era, exceeds 50 million people.
My dearest, are you better now? Go fly away. You set me off, those wounded little birds. You find now fly up in the sky. It is an endless story. Where spreads his wings to fly, tumbles down in a while. Go and see the world with all its beauty and its loss. And when you get lost again, come back to me.
Thank you.
Show start third hour off with Death Hymn number 9. That's got Paul from Pedro here singing, but the man cats are OC in a tune called Hogs Turds, which has an Arkansas connect because the Fayetteville, they're the Razorbacks, right?
Oh yeah,
Hogs. Then Matt Jones out of Massachusetts with Massachusetts Classical Part 2A. He's getting into his organ thing. Dick Deluxe, again, it was Pioneer people. I had them sound on. You get a little feedback. You can't do that. You got to meet the fucking thing. We think after 50 years, fucking WAP, we'd get together. Then Dick Deluxe telling me, he's living in New Orleans now, buddy of, I met him through brother Steve McKay. Got to record with him album, Sunset Beach. And then another buddy of his lives in Pacifica, Tom, but I think he's... Yeah, I think he's in Brooklyn now. Mary Can Dream, Kinbaum and Kestner out of Germany with Short and Sweet, Berlin. And finally, Hard Girls, another Orange County band, Samizdat. Samizdat was like putting out books by like memorizing them, Soviet days, and copies. Yeah, because a lot of stuff was illegal. So, all right. That's the Orange County take on it there. And the Hard Girls. No women in the band, though.
Good band. Okay.
Yeah. I like. Got to play with Elijah. Or share the stage.
I saw them at the Troubadour. I was roading for a band there some years back, and a local band here I was with, and we played with them.
Okay. Shared the bill. Now, Fluke, we're talking early 90s. It's starting to get a little attention.
A little bit, yeah. And then Steve and Jason, they were focusing more on their music. So I took the magazine over myself.
Yeah. What issue? What issue?
Issue 3.
Okay. So after 2 issues, those guys are done.
Yeah, they're done. But
they were important because they got the ball rolling with you.
Oh yeah, and you know, I was always into writing, and I wasn't very musically inclined, but I was a big fan of music.
You're a gig-goer.
I was a gig-goer.
You're a listener, yeah.
And, you know, I'd roadie for bands, and I was definitely way in the mix, you know, and so...
Culture.
Yeah, you know, the culture, yeah. I fell in love with the punk rock culture.
Yeah.
And the music and the place...
The guy who invented rock right, Richard Meltzer.
Right.
He ended up making a band later on called Vom, but yeah, you need cats to write about it. It's just part of the fabric, like I was saying before. So what was it like being, yeah, man alone? Now, you took contributions from other cats, right?
Yeah, I still did. It started to go towards more the personal side of life.
Yeah.
more personal stories, interviews with just people, not bands, and things of that nature. And so it was a lot of fun.
Oh, you know what I forgot to ask you? The name. Where did you guys get the name?
You know, I don't know where the name came from.
Okay. It's just
one
fluke.
One of those guys came up with it.
Okay. Fluke is like a freaky thing, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a strange thing because, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's like a lucky stroke.
Right.
But then it's also the name of the whale tail is called
that's
the fluke.
That's right, that's right.
You know, and then, so, yeah, I don't know where it came from, but it apparently stuck because, you know, 25 years later.
Right, right. Now, this period during the 90s, when you take it over, this is the most prolific, right? The most issues.
Well, the most prolific was 2009 is when I really started it back up.
Oh, when you well, let's get to the break. When did it kind of fade out for a little bit?
We had I had issue 3 in 93, and then I moved back to Little Rock around that time, and then in 95 I moved up to Seattle. I did an issue in 1995 in Seattle, and then there was a long break. I did another issue in 98, and then after that I got, you know, my life, I got mixed up in drugs and all that, and my life really took a turn for the worse.
And also a fluke.
Yeah. And, I mean, it was not a good time in my life, very dark period. Actually, 98, I got that one, released that one out, you know, from the skin of my teeth. I barely got that one out. And then it took me...
Well, life's a journey, you know, hills and valleys.
Exactly.
It's definitely a valley, yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah, and I didn't put another one out until 2005.
Okay, so there's a seven-year break.
There's a seven-year break, and after that one...
Well, let's listen to some music.
Sure.
Thank you.
Art from Pedro Show. Last music for this edition, Porch with My Raging Ragged Booty. And where's Porch from? I think West Coast.
I don't know.
Maybe Oregon, maybe Washington State, maybe California. I think it's West Side, though. Sorry for being stupid. Same with Adam Mouth Gimli's. They did Absence, and I can't remember where they're from. But the cat gave me the music at a gig, and there's nothing like... That's what I mainly play on the Watt for Peter show. Music cats give me at gigs. Wild Books with Planes. Sometimes it comes, email. They tell me, hey, Watt, check this out. But I never played Merce shit. You know, I consider it a debt to the movement, the scene.
Right.
Wild Style Lion, that's out of Berlin with Philly, Up in Smoke, brother-in-law Jay Maskus. Well, Vet in Ever, fuck, I can't remember where these cats are from either. I've been playing a lot of it. I love it. I know Zigzags is SoCal. Afraid of the Dark, fine. Okay, so, yeah, Fluke took a powder, your life was in some struggle, but you come back.
I come back. I got clean in 2001.
Yeah.
And I took some number of years to get my life back in some semblance of order.
Yeah.
And
where are you living?
I'm living in Phoenix.
Okay.
And when I got clean, all these words, all these thoughts were coming out of me, and I just started writing them down.
Yeah.
And I started creating these poems of sort, or prose. And most of it was about my life between 94 and 2001.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a very personal issue.
Sure.
And I put it out, and actually, Brother Jason got married in Little Rock to his sweetheart, and at his reception, I passed out that issue.
Okay.
It was February of 2005.
Okay.
And he and Jana got married, and everyone was there.
It was like you're jumping out of the cake.
Yeah, it was like, well, this would be a great time to release this issue, you know?
Absolutely.
So that was great motivation for me to get it done.
Sure, sure.
And so I did. And then,
you're saying, now this evolution of Fluke, much different than the older one. More introspective, you're creative with the prose.
Very much so, yes.
Clear in the head.
Clearing the head, yeah. and all this stuff is coming out of me, you know, all these words and emotions and thoughts and feelings, you know, and so it all came out, and I sent it off to, you know, MRR and Punk Planet, and
yeah.
and they got a real poor reception, you know. Some people liked it, but to be honest, mostly it would be what you would consider a flop. And that was really like, you know, that was a bit heartbreaking.
Yeah, soul crusher.
Exactly. And then, so it took a long time to, you know, then I started thinking, you know what? Why don't I start interviewing bands again?
Okay.
And that's when the days of MySpace, this is like before Facebook became big, and I was friends with you on MySpace, and
that name always cracked me up. I used to call it My Waste of Space Place.
And this is an interesting story. I've been a fan of Minutemen since 1990. You know, I bought a Double Nickels on the Dime at Wax Tracks Records up on the north side of Chicago.
Sure, good store.
You know, so I've been a fan of you for 25, 26 years, and I thought, and I was friends with you on MySpace, and I thought, why don't I ask Watt if he'd do an interview? And I wrote to you, and you were probably on a tour or something because you didn't write back for a while, and I swear to God, it was a month or two or three later. And I thought, you know what, I'm gonna give it one more shot. I'm gonna write him back. And I swear, as I was writing you, yeah, you replied to me.
Okay.
And you said, yeah, I'll do it, and you did it. you know, and that really was the jump start of Fluke being back, you know, in the world, you know. And
Now,
I put one out. I put one out every year except 2014. Every year since.
But if people want to check out Fluke, is there a web presence?
Yeah, there is. There's fluke-fanzine@tumblr.com. You know, and then if you just Google Fluke Fanzine,
yeah,
you'll find it. And also,
you can use other search engines too, people.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. People tell me, get this.
People say, "Oh, your podcast." I said, "You don't have to listen to it on iPod. You can listen to it on all kinds of things."
Right. If you want to purchase it, you can go to fluke.bigcartel.com.
Okay. Because people, you got it. It's to me, you got all the ethics about what a fanzine means, which is getting your a humanistic vibe, a spirit. That ain't just merch. It ain't being a shill. It's just letting the freak flag fly. I love it. So people, you should check out Fluke. But Matthew, if you had advice to somebody about doing a fanzine, what would you say?
I would say put in it what you want to put in it. And I would say get yourself out there, network with people, because to me it's the connections that's the real reward. You know, it's the connections with people that's the real, like what I'm doing with you right now. You know, so be honest with it. Put your interest into it, because there's magazines, there's fanzines about all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
and people are gonna, you know, be attracted to it if that's what they're into. So my advice would be that, you know, just come from the heart and make it visually appealing if you can.
Okay. Like when you see it, you know it's from that cat. It's not generic.
No,
Marlon Brando.
Mm-hmm.
I think that advice you just gave is great advice. Take it to heart. I tried to put those same values and work in the base the same way. I want to thank you so much for being on the show, and I wish you continued success. People, please check out Fluke Fanzine, Brother Matthew. And we're going to do another spiel for your zine. Huh?
Yeah.
I got an album coming out with Nels Klein, Greg Sade from Deerhoof, and Nick Reinhardt from Terra Melos, called Big Walnuts Yonder, named after Richard Bell's poem. And I'd like to talk to you about that record.
We're going to do a spiel with you. Let's do it.
That's what I'm saying. So thank you again for being on the show.
Brother Watt, thank you. I'll see you next month.
That's right. We're a second man are coming to play your state, your town.
I'll be there.
And with the Puppets.
Yes, sir.
Me Puppets.
Hometown boys.
Right. People, it's been September 11, 2016 edition of Watt for Peter Show. Keep your powder dry.